Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today's show is part of our Classics Collection, a series of select rebroadcasts. Some programs, as you know, just need to be brought back because of their impact. Here's one. I'm joined with my featured guest, Bernie Vitting. Listen to his moving story. It'll touch your heart. He's from the East Coast, born and raised there. He's a tall man with white hair and blue eyes. He comes from a Scandinavian background. He speaks fluent Samoan and understands the Samoan culture better than most people who live in Hawaii. He raised his family on the Leeward Coast along with his wife, who is a nurse. Their children have been well-educated in private schools like Iolani School, St. Andrew's Priory, have become lawyers. One of their sons is graduating from medical school on a full scholarship. He has traveled the world doing mission work with medical clinics in places like Kenya and Uganda. And he's gone there more than once. He continues to go back consistently with Paradise Global Mission. He had a career and continues to serve as a social worker and has such a heart of compassion. I have rarely had a conversation with him where at some point, as he speaks of people's pain and suffering, he weeps and his voice quivers in empathy. His name is Bernie Vitting, one of the most unique people ever on our show, and we're blessed to have him with us today. Bernie, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny.
Bernie, you know, you've got a lot to share, and God has done some amazing things. But, you know, as we begin, tell us about your children, your family, and particularly how, you know, the birth of your daughters.
Well, our oldest child is a girl named Sherry, and she was born in 1976, and the experience of having a child made me really think seriously about my relationship with God. And at that time, my greatest desire was to be a good father. I wanted to be the best father that I could, and at that time I was backslidden. I had grown up in a Christian home. I was actually born on the West Coast in Tacoma, Washington, and we moved. My parents were home missionaries. My mother was a school teacher, and we lived in California, Florida, and then finally New Jersey. I graduated from high school and college in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. But when Sherry was born, it made me think she should have. If I'm going to be a good father, the best father would be a Christian father, and that made me turn my attention to the Lord and my relationship with Him. And I realized that I didn't have much faith left after going through college and majoring in chemistry. So I began to think about giving up smoking and drinking and becoming a good father. So I tried to give up smoking and found out that I couldn't do it. I was totally addicted to nicotine and cigarettes. Then Rachel and Becca were born. We had twins. And my wife was sick most of the time during that pregnancy. And we didn't find out until she had actually gone into Kapi'olani Hospital to deliver the twins, that she actually had twins. And at that time, it was a very difficult delivery because the second twin who was born, her name is Rebecca. The first one is Rachel. She was born fine. She was positioned normally. But Becca had real problems because she was presenting an arm and a leg. And we had signed up to have a labor delivery, which is where I'm in there in the delivery room as my wife's coach. It worked very well for Sherry when she was born. And when Rachel was born, she was fine. We were happy. Then when Becca started to be born, she was presenting an arm and a leg. And that was a very, very dangerous. Of course, one of them is going to die. And so it was a very serious situation. So our doctor had invited a group of interns. There were maybe 12, 15 people in the room. So when he realized that he had to take an emergency procedure, he told me, we have to put your wife to sleep, and we would like you to step outside because the room is already crowded and we no longer need you. So I stepped outside, and I'm looking through the porthole, and Rebecca's delivered about 10 minutes after Rachel was born. And he managed to change the position with his hands and actually literally pull Becca out by her feet. And I'm watching, and Rebecca was born, and she was purple. She was purple and turning blue, so he could tell that she had been without oxygen mm-hmm. for a while. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to revive her. And as they were doing things, you know, like rubbing her and shaking different things to try to revive her, I'm watching the clock go down, and it was almost a minute, and I realized that my baby is dying. And at that mm-hmm. moment, I cried out to the Lord in my heart. I couldn't say the words,
yeah.
But I just thought, Lord, if you're there, I said, please save my baby. Save my baby. I'll do anything you want. You can have my life. I'm yours. Just save my baby. And that thought left my mind. She coughed and revived. It was about a minute after she was born already. And the doctor, the pediatrician afterwards said, she was fine, healthy, and he said, you have to be very careful with her because we're not sure how long she was without oxygen, but obviously she was without oxygen for a while. There's a very good possibility that she's been brain damaged, and so you need to monitor her closely. And so we did. We took both twins, actually, for developmental checks with the public health nurse, followed her closely, and there were no signs. We told the public health nurse when she went in for the developmental exams of what had happened at her birth. And so they checked for developmental delays, and nothing was found. Both twins were doing fine.
Hmm.
When she went to school and when she was middle school in Waianae Middle School, she expressed a desire. She wanted to go to Iolani. Our oldest daughter, we'd encouraged her to go to Iolani, but she decided she wanted to go to St. Andrew's Priory. So she was at St. Andrew's Priory already on a partial scholarship the Lord had provided there. And when Rebecca, by this time she was vice president of her class.
And so Rebecca is the same one that
the same one that was deprived. She's number two.
The blue baby, right?
Right, she was the blue baby.
Okay.
And she was doing very well in school. We always wanted our children to have a good education. We'd raised them, encouraging them. And they weren't always the top student in their class, but they did well, and they studied well. They had good study habits. So she applied to Iolani. Rachel, we didn't have enough money at that time because we were in transition, and that's another story, in jobs. And we didn't make very much money at that time. And I could only afford the application fee for one child. So we put it in for Rebecca. And then they called me the day before the deadline for submitting applications, and they asked me at the applications office at Iolani if Rebecca was a twin. I said, yes, she is. She has a sister named Rachel. And they said, well, don't you want to apply for both? And then I had to confess we only had enough funds for one. And they said, well, we're going to review your application because you also apply for financial aid along with the application. And they did that. They reviewed Rebecca's application. They called me back and said, can you get an application in for Rachel by tomorrow? Tomorrow's the deadline. I said, we'll do everything we can. And mm-hmm. they said, we've reviewed, and we can refund part of the application fee, and that'll be more than enough to cover for Rachel's. And I said, oh, wonderful. So I went to Rachel, and I said, Rachel, do you have the application for Iolani? She says, yes, Dad, I have it all filled out. So that told me she wanted to go to. Of course she did. And I believe that she had prayed and asked God to provide for her too. And so we submitted the application. Both of them were accepted on full scholarship.
Awesome.
And I want to share something. We were in church a couple days before that, on a Sunday. It was a Sunday night, and we're worshiping the Lord at Paradise Chapel, where we fellowshipped at that time. And I was really worried about them getting in to Iolani, what was going to happen. And I'm just asking the Lord, tears in my eyes, just asking the Lord, Lord, can you please, you know, provide for Rachel and Becca? And I really felt the Lord telling me, he said, because you've committed your life to me. See, and you've chosen to follow me. At that time, we were following the Lord completely. And I really felt the assurance of the Lord. I said, don't worry about your kids. I'll take care of them.
Wow.
And I looked over at Rebecca. She had tears coming down her face. She was worshiping the Lord at the same time. But I told her, Becca, the Lord just told me not to worry about Iolani. Becca looked back at me with tears in her eyes. And she says, yeah, Dad, he told me the same thing.
Wow.
So 2 days later, on Tuesday, we got the letter for both of them saying that they've both been accepted into Iolani on full scholarship.
Praise God. Okay. Wow. You know, it's just so awesome about your testimony there. I mean, you're sharing about, first of all, that, you know, you opened up sharing that your daughter wasn't supposed to live, you know, that the traumatic circumstance around this. And now we're fast forwarding to this miraculous provision of God. And not only did she live, but she was the president, vice president of her class, accepted the Iolani full scholarship along with your other daughter. But it was, and like you said, it was because you made a commitment to the Lord.
Yes.
And it was that day in the hospital room. I can almost imagine you, you know, making that deal with God. You told us before the show that you made a deal with God.
Yes,
but
I
even
did.
After your daughter was healed, there was a moment where you had to come full circle and make that full commitment to the Lord. Can you tell us a little bit about that, that moment where you had to come to that place of commitment?
Right. There was a lot that happened in between, because I fast-forwarded to when she was in school. But about 6 months later, after the twins were born, in that time period, I really felt almost like a monkey on my shoulder, because it seemed like that presence was constant, reminding me, saying, I did my part. When are you going to do yours?
By healing your daughter, he did his part.
Yes, he did. And I knew in that time period, we had to check since she was a baby. There was nothing wrong. And I knew that God had done his part. So there was no question there. And I was trying to give up smoking, you know, just trying to clean myself up to really become a Christian, come to the Lord. We weren't attending church. So finally, my wife and I, it was a Saturday night, we went out to see the late, great Planet Earth. And I felt so convicted by that movie. We were coming back and drive this all the way in Kailua, and we're coming back to Waianae. We lived out in Waianae, almost to Makaha at that time. And we passed this church bus that said Paradise Chapel on there. And my wife said, well, why don't we go there tomorrow? And I said, that's a good idea. We will. But do you know what time the service starts? No, no, I don't. I said, well, let's go to that church. We felt God leading us specifically to that church. We got up the next day, got the kids together, walked in the back of the church. It was in the middle of the pastor's sermon. But I felt like the Lord was saying to me, this is it. If you mean business with me, this is it. You don't have to clean up. And so right there, I'm praying. We're just standing there in the back of the church. And we can't, neither my wife or I could really focus on what the pastor was saying. All we could do is say to the Lord, okay, just make sure he gives us an altar call. We're waiting for the altar call. And as soon as he made an altar call, she and I, with our kids in tow, with the twins and Sherry, went to forward, and we dedicated our lives and our family to the Lord.
That's great.
See, and that was in May of 1979. And see, and then God used us in the church. And then the next thing that happened in my walk with the Lord was to give up my job. At that time, I was an account executive with NCR Corporation, had a very good job, paid good money, but I didn't like going back and forth to town. I really felt like either the Lord was calling me into ministry or some other area, and what I really wanted was social work. So I had to deal with the Lord and said, Lord, I'll do anything you want. And the Lord really, it took me a long time to finally figure out the Lord was leading me into social work.
Wow.
But you know what happened to my job? I asked the Lord, how do I leave this job? Because, and the Lord said, well, I've got to, they're going to make you an offer you can't refuse, but you're going to refuse it. And they did. They offered me the directorship of the sales training school in Dayton, Ohio, but I didn't want to leave. I knew that that was it. I turned it down. My boss told me, don't turn it down. It's the opportunity of a lifetime. It's a triple jump, and it was because a friend of mine had recommended me. So I turned it down, and I was riffed. I was laid off.
Wow.
Interesting. Well, you know, there's a lot. This is, you know, believe it or not, this is just the beginning. When it comes to Bernie Vitting, I mean, he's a wellspring of testimony of God's amazing, amazing grace. And I know you're being inspired by listening, and there's more to come. He's going to tell you more of how God provided and how God led and how God is leading you and how God is getting ready to bless you too. So stay with us. We'll be right back with Bernie Vitting.
Wandering the road of desperate life, namelessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. You are listening to a special rebroadcast program. It's part of our classics collection of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm so glad you're with us. To find out more about our show and to access other resources for living the good life and to find out how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, here's more with along with my co-hosts, Alfredo Canencia and Billy Lyle, our featured guest, Bernie Vitting.
Hey, Bernie, man, we just so appreciate you sharing your story with us. And we just wanted to recap a little bit about, you know, how the Lord got your attention and you sharing earlier how you wanted to really give your life to the Lord, or come to the Lord, but you were trying to clean up your act. And in the process of that, you know, you had the birth of your oldest daughter. And then, you know, in the birth of your twin daughters, the second one, you went through a crisis moment for your second daughter coming out, and God really, you know, got your attention, and just, you know,
sure
just the reality of how, maybe you can share with us a little bit about that process there again, because we kind of went all over it real quickly, mm-hmm. about how your daughter was turning blue in mm-hmm. the face. Yeah.
Right, and as soon as I prayed that prayer in that crisis moment, almost a moment of panic, asking God to to save my daughter, that I would commit my life to the Lord. And I really had spent 2 years trying to clean my act up and really couldn't do it. I could not give up smoking. And from that time, for the next 6 months until May of 1979, I've really felt the Lord telling me, I did my part. When are you going to do yours? And so that Sunday morning in church, we found ourselves in the church and found God really speaking to both of us. It's hard to describe, but I felt I couldn't hear anything. All I could hear was just really the voice of the Lord saying, now is the time, and please give an altar call. We went forward, just committed everything to the Lord, and walked out with such a release. And I had a full pack of Doral cigarettes in my pocket. I'd only smoked about two of them before we went to church. And on my way out, I really thought, I don't think I'm going to need these anymore. And I just pulled them out and threw them in the trash can. And people know me, say, I don't like to throw anything away. My son Joshua would tell you that. And so
one of these like that, too.
It was hard to throw away. Yeah. But I just threw them away. And I never had a desire for a cigarette after that. The Lord, you know, here I've been trying for 2.5 years to give up this habit. And there's this ache in your lungs that you get when you want a cigarette. I never even got the ache in my lungs. It was a physical, mental, emotional, a spiritual healing. And from then on, you know, that was it. I mean, it was the Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And so I did.
So you quit cold turkey. I mean, just
quit cold turkey, just like that. Boom. Walked into church as a smoker and walked out a non-smoker.
Wow.
And you see, the Lord led me into a career in social work, where most of my clients, many of them, were crystal methamphetamine addicts. And, you know, I tell this to people, but I don't know how many people know it, that the only cure for crystal methamphetamine addiction is Jesus Christ. Yeah. And I could share my addiction with nicotine and how God delivered me from that. And I could, being completely ethical, working for the state of Hawaii, I could tell people the only known cure for your addiction is God. And so I would tell them to, you know, you're going to need God's help to overcome this, and it's true.
And it was that day that you walked into the church, made that full commitment, and that day you threw that last pack of cigarettes out and never looked back.
I walked out of there delivered from a very serious addiction. And people will tell you, giving up cigarettes is harder than alcohol.
That's a miracle in itself, but that's just the tip of the iceberg of miracles in your life. I mean, I just think that that's such a huge lesson for us, you know, that, you know, a lot of people want miracles, but they don't like the commitment part. You know, I know, I like getting stuff. But I don't like committing, you know, but it's that commitment to
it's the commitment.
It's like that first domino that starts a chain reaction of many miracles. And
absolutely,
when we face crisis, God wants to show up. And so you faced another crisis.
Yes,
in your life.
A couple of years later, you see, because I began to feel very uncomfortable in my job. I was a sales account executive with NCR Corporation, and it was all about money, you know, generating money for the company, and that just turned me off. I wanted to help people. And I realized I'm in the wrong place. And the Lord told me, he said, they're going to make an offer to you that you can't refuse, but you need to refuse it because that's not where you're going with me. And so I knew that. It's like God told me. I can't tell you how. It's just
annoying. Did he do it in Marlon Brando's voice? Or?
It wasn't a voice. It was a sense, like, you know, just like the monkey on my shoulder, the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart and saying, I knew that I didn't belong there. I knew, but somehow this came out really clearly that they're going to make this offer, and that's the key because I need to refuse the offer. So I did. They offered me the sales directorship, the directorship of the sales training school for, this is an international company now in Dayton, Ohio. Mm-hmm. What I would have to relocate to Dayton, and I turned it down. And my boss said, you're crazy. You're absolutely nuts. This is the opportunity of a lifetime. You get to go to the international headquarters, and it's in there, but people get to know you. It's a step up to where, you know, it's a triple jump. You'd be jumping over my boss and his boss. And I said, but I don't want to leave Hawaii. I used that as my excuse. So I don't want to leave Hawaii.
So you kind of following that prompting in your heart.
In my heart.
But, man, I mean, did you share that with your wife? What did your wife think about?
Oh yeah, my wife was in full agreement. And I said, I believe that God has other things for me. But I was sure enough. After that, my boss told me they're going to find a way to get rid of you. And sure enough, the next quarter, they had a reduction in force. Two guys in the western part of the United States, and I was one of the two, even though I had good record, everything. See, so here I am, out of a job, and that provoked a crisis because. How am I going to provide for my family? Unemployment wasn't enough. And so we applied for food stamps. And about 2 weeks later, after I lost my job, I went on unemployment. And an unemployment office there asked me, oh, we have lots of jobs in sales. I said, no, I don't want to go back to sales. What do you have in social work? Because I was also qualified with social work.
Oh, I see.
And they said
nothing. But then
you had
your master's in social work by then already?
No, I didn't. I had a bachelor's degree in chemistry, but I had a year and a half experience in social work in New Jersey before I came out. And actually, I was invited to come here because I could speak Samoan, in social work. Mm-hmm. So my wife was in full support. When I told them that, I said, "There's, you know, the unemployment office." I told them I would like a job in social work because I'm qualified to do that. And so that met the qualifications for unemployment insurance, but I would only accept social work jobs. But they said, there's a hiring freeze on right now. Ariyoshi has frozen all the social work positions. And so there's, and that's the state, and the state is the major employer of social workers in Hawaii. All the other private jobs, you have to have the master's, which I didn't have. So I'm checking around, nothing's available. And so that's a crisis for me. Any father who has children, that's a major crisis. Yeah. So 2 weeks later, a lady in church comes up to me and she says, oh, Brother Bernie, she says, by the way, she said, are you looking for a job? And I said, well, yeah. You know, I had told nobody that I was laid off. Yeah. And she says, well, the Lord has been bugging me for the last 2 weeks to ask you about this. I said, she says, do you have a college degree? He says, yeah, in chemistry. And she says, oh, well, you wouldn't be interested in social work then, would you? And I said, would I? That's exactly what I'm looking for. And she says, well, it's not exactly social work. It's like paraprofessional job with the welfare department. But she said, a good friend of mine is the supervisor of the Nanakuli Welfare Office. And she's exhausted the civil service list because nobody wants to come to Waianae. And she's looking for an income maintenance worker. And your degree would qualify you for that. It doesn't have to be in social work. And she said, I'll give her a call on Monday and let her know. And maybe you can call the office maybe on Tuesday. So I said, okay. And now her name is Elaine Reyes. And she and I shared this testimony.
Uh-huh.
And so I called the office on Monday. And they said, oh, well, you know, Helen Patterson was the supervisor at that time. And she says, she's out of the office. She's on leave today, but she'll be back tomorrow. And so, sure enough, I got a call from Helen on Tuesday. Wednesday, I was at work at the Nanakuli Welfare Office.
Wow.
And that was the beginning of my career with the state. let me share another one.
Wait, isn't this amazing? Because you gotta appreciate God. God is really humorous, because Bernie, although he may speak fluently Samoan,
mm-hmm,
he is white. And working out there in Nanakuli, Waianae, where you have majority of the people
some might even argue whiter than white. You know? I mean, his hair is not blonde.
It's lost the blonde.
White,
it's all,
you know,
white,
I mean.
Man, it's like Jesus. It's like Jesus going to Nanakuli.
Well, I made a lot of friends in Nanakuli, and I tell you, I loved Waianae. We lived out there for 20 years,
awesome,
and never had a problem with being Haole. And I think that's God's grace too.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of loving people that I know there. But you know what happened is that Elaine ended up becoming my supervisor, and this is a number of years later. Something else came up, and that is that I had a strong desire to go into child protective services, because so many of my clients came in and told me horror stories about how CPS had intervened and got everything wrong and took their children. So I had this burden to go into CPS, but I didn't have the education to qualify for it here in Hawaii. I needed a few more credits. So about that time, I found out the department had this special new program to send people in the department for their master's degree in social work, because there's always been a need for CPS workers.
Right.
And I thought, well, I don't really qualify for that. My degree's in chemistry. I don't have enough credits. I don't think my grade point average is good enough. But the Lord spoke to me again and said, Bernie, I can't do my part if you don't do yours.
Wow.
See? And so that told me that I needed to put in. You know, stop trying to figure out whether I'm going to qualify or not. Just put in the application. I put in the application. Next thing you know, I was accepted. I was one of five people out of the Department of Human Services that were accepted for that program.
Wow.
And I loved it. And Elaine, she let me off a half hour earlier on the days I had classes so that I could get to class in time, because I had to drive to Manoa. And
wow.
And you know, there's another thing that happened too. I felt at one time, I wonder if they're going to continue this program, because this is a wonderful program. It went on for 2 years. I got my master's degree and then applied to CPS. And there's a whole other story about being involved with CPS and what God did there. But God provided that for me, and it was on – it's almost like me having a full scholarship. All I had to buy was the books.
Wow.
Well, you know, God has been an amazing provider for you, Bernie.
Yes.
And I think the testimonies that you share, I'm looking at – Master Sergeant Cambry, and we just year to year smiling because, man, it's like a breath of fresh air. Yeah. It's like the trade winds blowing through our spirit and through the airwaves to people who are listening at this very moment, who may feel like they're stuck, or they may be psyching themselves out, saying, "Well, I'm not qualified for that. I don't have," and yet God is prompting them. Mm-hmm. Maybe He's saying something like, "You know, I can't do my part unless you do your part."
That's right. Mm-hmm.
When we come back, you know, I want to hear, how did you learn to speak Samoan? where did that come from? And when we come back, we're going to hear more. We're going to have more fun with Bernie Vitting. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chineta Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. It's so good to have you with us today. Ever experience change, and times in life when you want to change and you're working towards figuring out how to navigate the changes in life. Well, if you have ever been there, you can relate with our guest today. This is a special rebroadcast as part of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show's Classics Collection. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org to receive our ministry resources and discover how to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, let's take in more of The Good Life, along with my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Alfredo Canencia, and Billy Lyle, our featured guest, Bernie Vitting.
You know, Bernie, just listening to you, you are a walking miracle and a man of much faith. You know, faith is a muscle that the more you use it, the more it grows. And it's apparent that you have grabbed the concept of your natural to God's super and the supernatural things that can happen from that point on. I understand that you speak fluent Samoan. How did you get to that point?
Well, that involved the Peace Corps. And actually, yeah, I feel like I'm totally blessed. You're exactly right in terms of being a walking miracle. But it's really the result of parents, Christian parents, who prayed daily for all their children. My mother was, she was an anointed school teacher, Sunday school teacher, and primary school teacher. And she prayed for us every day, and I was her oldest. And most rebel.
And how many kids in the family? Were
ten.
There were ten.
So okay. I helped my mother raise those kids, developed a love for children. And so I was a senior in college at Monmouth College in New Jersey. And it was the winter time, and there was snow all over the place, and it was cold and wet. And I walked into the great hall at Monmouth College there, and here was this big poster of a Polynesian girl on a white sand beach with a palm tree. And the title of it says, Peace Corps Goes to Polynesia. And then it told about a new program that they're starting in the areas of community development and public health. And since I was a pre-med major, I thought, I would love to go there. And I was enthusiastic about Peace Corps ever since President Kennedy started it. Just the whole concept of Peace Corps was wonderful. So I said, I'm going to put in for that. And I decided then to do it. And this is a time when I'd lost my faith. I was really confused. I was in a fraternity, living the wild life, you know. And that really was a turning point in my life. I put in for Samoa. It was my first choice. I was selected to go. I was in the very first group to go to Samoa in 1967. We trained on the West Coast. We trained in Molokai. And so I really liked Hawaii when I came to Hawaii. We lived in Molokai. I really liked the people in Molokai. Then we went to Samoa, and I was placed in a remote village out there all by myself. And that's when I found out that growing up in such a large family gave me a lot of initiative that I didn't know I had. So I realized that I functioned there very well. It was the communal society. I was placed with a chief and his family. And I didn't know it at the time, but God actually had his hand on me, gave me favor with the village. The family just really bonded to me, and they really pitched in and helped me to learn Samoan. The only person who spoke English in my village was the village school teacher, who lived quite a little bit of a ways away from us. And I didn't have too much contact with her, but I found out when I met her that after 6 weeks, my Samoan was better than her English. But what that says is not so much about that my Samoan was that great, but it's just that she didn't know very much English. And my family really taught me the vernacular. There's really kind of two languages. There's the K language and the T language. And they quickly accepted me. They helped me. They encouraged me to learn. I used the dictionary. And it was immersion. It was total immersion. So by the second year there, I was pretty much a native speaker using the K language most of the time.
Then, and the K language is the...
That's the vernacular, the everyday language, which when people learn Samoan, they're taught the T language, which is the formal Samoan. And when people would meet me for the first time, and I would start to speak the K language, because that's what was natural for me, they would correct me into using the T language. But then after about a minute or so, they would just get into the conversation with me and forget all about correcting my K. So that's how I learned Samoan. But at the same time, in Samoa, you know, the lifestyle is very slow compared to here, and it gave me a lot of time to think. And I met my wife through them, and that's a whole other story too. But I really fell in love with this high chief that I lived with, and his wife, and they became my second parents, my Samoan parents, and their family. So I have brothers and sisters in my village in Samoa. But changed my whole perspective because their culture is so different from ours.
In what way did it change your perspective?
Well, I started thinking about what is really important in life, and it really directed my attention back to whether God really existed or not. It made me realize how important relationships were. I forgave my father, for I was always like the rebel, but I think I had this underlying animosity towards my father because I had to assume a lot of the duties of father for him. Because, for example, he knew how to drive, but he didn't have a license, couldn't drive. I got the first car our family ever had so that I could drive my mother to work. And I had a license when I was 15 years old, a permit to take my mother and back to work. And that's something he should have done. I always kind of resented having to fill in for him. See, mm-hmm. It's just because his father died when he was 4 years old, and he didn't really know exactly what, you know, how to be a father in a sense. Right. But he loved us, though. And that was the important thing. The things that I really needed from him, he gave me. I knew it. He loved me, and he cared for me. He was very proud of me. But this underlying kind of anger, I just forgave him for all that because I realized how important relationships are. And when you talk about relationships, you can't really talk about relationships with people without considering also relationship with God. And I began to be drawn, those hours of just nothing and just thinking about God. One night I remember saying to the Lord, "Lord, if you're God, if you're there, if you're real, you got to show me, because I'm a skeptic." You know, I'd read African Genesis and a bunch of things when I was in college, and you know, the theory of evolution. I had a hard time reconciling the theory of evolution with Christianity and the story in Genesis and all that. And I said, "God, you know, putting all that aside," I said, "you know, because we don't really know for sure, but I want to know if you're there." And it's interesting because from that time on, God began to show me that he's real. First of all, scientists believe that, you know, in empirical knowledge, and that knowledge that's valid is only valid if you can prove it with your five senses. So if there's a sixth sense, if we have a spirit and there's a spiritual thing, that's what I wanted to know. Is there really such a thing as a spiritual realm? So I began to be interested in what they call the paranormal, with ESP and those kinds of things, just to check out, is this stuff really for real? So after my experience in the Peace Corps, I was selected to train the next group. And so I came back to Molokai and we trained with the University of Hawaii. We trained the group 5 that came and replaced us.
After how long were you?
2 years.
Samoa.
Two years, but I had to cut short a little bit. I still had a lot of work to do in Samoa, but another Peace Corps volunteer came and helped out. And at the same time, I'd heard about my wife's situation, where they wanted to send her to school. She was very good in English. She had done well in school, but they wanted to continue her education. So I wrote to my folks and asked if they would take in a Samoan girl from my family who had been so good to me. I wanted to try to repay them, and this is mm-hmm. something I could do. So my folks said, "Oh, they'd love to have it." So Siu, my wife, Felicity, she went to live with my folks and attended school, finished school there so she could go to college. And then when I returned, we got to know each other and eventually ended up getting engaged and getting married, and my parents took care of the whole thing. That's I'm digressing a little bit.
So she's the daughter of the chief that took care of you?
No, she's the granddaughter.
Oh, the granddaughter.
Right. Their oldest daughter was married, lived in another village on the other side of the island that I visited once or twice.
And that was Siu's mom.
Right. And I heard about them through the family, that was Siu's mom.
You know, I think we would be remiss if we didn't just ask him to give us a little sampling of, you know, here's a guy. But let's do it purposefully. Now, I'd mm-hmm. like for you to speak Samoan just a little bit, Bernie. But to someone who may be listening who has a background in Samoan, and of course you'll translate what you're saying. But let's say in someone who speaks Samoan right now is listening, and you know they understand English too. But yeah. Somehow when you speak in their own language, but if you can just give a word, they may be struggling with doubts right now, facing their own crisis in life, and God has you here. Mm-hmm. He's given you a gift, many gifts, mm-hmm. but now you have a gift of language. But if you can just speak into their life in the name of the Lord as to what you believe he would say to them in this point of the crossroads, a moment of crisis, and how it could be a turning point. But if you can speak in Samoan.
In other words, if there's something you'd like to hear, then I could give it back to you in Samoan. That's what I just said in Samoan. Mm-hmm. So is there... What would you like me to say?
Just give it... just say
to our listening audience
right now, but do it in Samoan. just give a word of encouragement.
Kalo falava o ko era le kele le kua era le kele le lo fo le kua ya ke ako e ke kaunga loa oi pala le mea ke fa ya ke oi e le ai se mea e le mo fa unga fa le kua pe o o mawa oi se fa lava lava le vai kaiminge fasili ma le kua e fa ya ki vaso swangi mai ya ke oi. Okay, kalo falava. I just said if there's anything that you need from the Lord, there's nothing that's impossible with God. There's nothing that's too hard for Him. And if you just ask Him to help, He will help you.
Amen to that. Amen. Amen. We're going to take a break right now, but we want to let that kind of settle in your heart, settle in your spirit. God is a God of many languages. He speaks in many languages. Right to the heart of where we are. And when He speaks, He does so with love, with gentleness and grace, and with strength. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Bernie Vitting. I'm here with my co-host Alfredo Canencia, Billy Lyle, and Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. It's good that you're with us today. What a blessing. What a blessing you are. This is a special rebroadcast presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show as part of our Classics Collection, providing a connection with stories of faith and life from our featured guests. If you're asking, how can I have a relationship with Jesus, just like our guest today, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and click the Get to Know Jesus tab. We have more resources, too, at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, along with my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Alfredo Canencia, and Billy Lyle, our featured guest, Bernie Vitting.
you know, as we were listening to your testimony and just the amazing things that God's taken you through. I mean, from that moment in the hospital room, your daughter seemingly dying right before your eyes, you made that commitment to the Lord and said, God, if you get me out of this, if you do this, I'll give you my life. And he has. And the miracle after miracle after miracle has been unfolding. But it wasn't just that moment of crisis, but it brought you to a place of commitment to the Lord. And now he's commissioned you to do a bunch of things all around the world. Bernie, tell us a little bit about what God is using you in now all around the world.
Well, you talk about commitment. And my commitment was to the Lord was, Lord, I'll never say no. Mm. Would you tell me when you lead me into doing something, I'll never say no. And that led me to overcome my greatest fear, which was speaking in front of people. So through activities at the church, I overcame that fear. And it was because I always thought about my promise to the Lord, don't say no. Well, one day, Danny came to our church. I didn't know too much about Danny. He was doing a crusade in Waianae. But he came to our church and he talked about Paradise Global Mission. And he talked about getting a mission together to go to Kenya, to Africa. And I really felt the Lord saying, this is an opportunity for you. You know, if you want to go, go. And so I talked it over with my wife, and we decided we really wanted to go to Kenya. So the first thing was, is we thought, well, in our financial condition now, there's no way we could afford. I mean, it was very expensive. So we just put it before the Lord and prayed about it. And Danny has, with Paradise Global Mission, there's a plan where you ask other people to support the mission. And you really have to step out in faith. That's really the first step. So we did. Again, it was like the Lord telling us, I can't do my part until you do your part. Mm-hmm. So we prepared the letters, and we shared what we wanted to do with other people in our church and our friends and family. And next thing you know, the support came in. And it was there, and we were ready to go. And I'm really sold on short-term missions, because what it did for us was really built our faith by learning to depend on the Lord mm-hmm. and just follow his guidance. When we mm-hmm. went to Kenya, we had no idea what was going to happen. We were following Danny, you know, to go over there. But let me tell you what happened. And this, I'll never forget this.
And I was following the Lord.
And Danny was following the Lord. We were all following the Lord together, but not really knowing what's going to happen, or, you know, and that lack of being able to prepare is really a step on faith. So we arrived in Nairobi, and we're all fine. We checked in his hotel.
Let me just mention, okay. You know, Pastor Owen Tonoy, really used strongly by the Lord to lead that.
Yes, he was. And then we went out to the airport the next day, and we flew up to Kisumu, which is where President Obama's father was a farmer in Kisumu. And we're on this prop jet, and the plane feels like it's falling apart. The air conditioning doesn't work, but I remember the smell of that diesel fuel coming in. And I'm next thing you know, I'm praying that we make it. I was getting sick from the fuel, but fortunately, before I actually really got sick, the plane landed. And here we step down this runway on the steps down to the field. It's like a grass field around, and there's all these ladies lined up with holding signs, and they're all in green, sort of like uniforms, but green dresses, and they're dancing and clapping. They had really joyous looks on their face. Welcome, Danny Yamashiro and Paradise Global Mission. Welcome to Kisumu. And when I got to the bottom of the stairs, there was a short, kind of slightly portly African man comes right up to me, just like a beeline, right from me, and he introduces himself and he says, hi, I'm Joshua War. And he said, by any chance, are you a social worker? And I said, yes, because I was wondering myself why I'm coming, because it's a medical mission, and even though I have a medical background, I'm not qualified in anything medical. I'm a social worker. And I said, yes. And he says, oh, wonderful. And you see, he's getting excited. And he said, did you bring your wife? And I said, yes, she's a nurse. She's right here. And he says, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He says, I've been praying for God to send a social worker who's married to a nurse, because I want to use you to talk to the people about AIDS.
Wow.
And to talk to about how it is being married to one person, because the biggest, one of the biggest problems there, along with AIDS, is polygamy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he wanted a social worker who knew how to reach out to people, had those social work skills, who his wife, and we could bear testimony to God's plan for marriage, wow. One wife.
See? So this guy was praying specifically for a social worker married to a nurse.
He told me specifically. And he told me, you're the one I was praying for.
Wow.
You're
and he had no idea that you were coming.
Had no idea.
Wow.
So off of the shaking no crop duster you appeared, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if that isn't a picture of, you know, God going before us.
Yes.
You know,
that was the
something.
Beginning of my experience with short-term missions. Wow. And Danny can tell you, I've got several hours worth of stories that we can relate similar to that about.
He could write a nice book that'll
sounds
carry
like another book.
that'll carry people through it, man.
Well, Joshua War and my wife and I were friends to this day.
Awesome.
We communicate. I get emails from him. He was up in Sudan for a while. Some things happened to him, but I wish he could have come with us on the second mm-hmm. trip that we had there. But there's even a possibility that on one of the mission trips to Uganda, he may possibly be able to join us.
You guys really bonded during that time.
We did bond. He's a wonderful brother. Well, after experience like that.
You saw him again the next year too, right?
No, but I got his email, and we were emailing. When we went back, we went to that other village, and
Nakuru,
he wanted to join
Nakuru.
He wanted to join us in Nakuru because when we went to Kisumu, he was our lead doctor.
Right, right, okay.
When we went to Nakuru, we didn't have a doctor. Here we have a medical clinic. We had all nurses, but no doctor. On a mission trip, that was important. The doctors that the Kenya government was supposed to supply to us never showed up.
Mm.
So we did it with nurses, and the nurses were doing assessment and treatment, which they really shouldn't be doing.
And just real briefly, now talk to us about Uganda. You've been going to Uganda on a regular basis.
Oh, Uganda is just, you know, like my heart. We've been going to Gulu, which is the area. It's both a district and a town that's actually larger population-wise than the state of Hawaii. And this is where Joseph Kony and the Lord's Resistance Army, called the LRA, has kidnapped almost 30,000 children and turned them into child soldiers. But that whole area has been torn by civil war. There's been many atrocities. When we had our medical clinic there last year, along with Pete Anderson of Trinity Church of Central Oahu, mm-hmm, we provide the medical team component with Dr. Elisha, who has a full-time clinic there in eastern Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
This is an outreach of the Presbyterian churches in eastern Uganda to reach out to the oppressed people in the Gulu area and the Acholi tribe. And right now, Joseph Kony is on the run. The Ugandan army has been chasing him in the Central African Republic and in the Congo. It's one of the most humanitarian needy people. World Vision is there and other needy groups. But we've established, TCCO has established two churches there, and we want to establish the third one and an orphanage. We're hoping to go back next year, June 2010.
This has been a special rebroadcast of a previously recorded show featuring Bernie Vitting. If you'd like to learn more about our show, or need prayer, or want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. I also have a list of partner churches as well as partner businesses who are able to help meet your needs. John 15:5 says, and Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Bernie Vitting. Until next time, along with my co-hosts, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Alfredo Canencia, and Billy Lyle, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.